meeting is called to order. This is a special meeting of Capistrano Unified School District Board of Trustees, July 22, 2009. Please rise for the pledge. Dr. Mahler, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion for consideration of the agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Roll call, please, Ms. Bose.
President Adonisio.
Here.
Trustee Winston.
Here.
Trustee Christensen.
Here.
Trustee Brick.
Here.
Trustee Bryson.
Here.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Here.
Trustee Filazzo.
Here.
It would appear we do not have blue cards, and so we move right on to our item number one. Reinstatement of Program Services, Certificate of Management Personnel. Mr. Lebs.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Mahler, Jane. We're here this evening with this item to ask for the board to reinstate several more management positions. As you know, in March, the board issued layoff notices to all certificated managers at the district office. That was done in an effort to provide flexibility in the face of possible reorganization and some shifts and adjustments, as well as to create flexibility and opportunity within the budget. These four particular positions that are being brought forward this evening were included in the budget that was adopted. They were never pulled out of the budget. So the cost of these positions was included in the budget that was adopted in June. And in keeping with the review process and the reorganization process that we've been looking at, which is still moving forward and rolling along, we've determined that these positions are critical and the functions that they perform are important and necessary for the delivery of the educational services within the district. And we would respectfully request that the board consider and approve reinstating these four particular positions at this time.
We have a motion and a second. Comments by the board, if any? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries 7-0. We move on now to item number two, strategic planning. Dr. Mahler.
I'm going to go down there so that I can organize myself and see.
Good evening, board members. I don't know if you had an opportunity to peruse the lavender sheet, which you have at your seat. Basically, I wanted to give you kind of a quick crash course on what your tools of governance are. And I know that you want to make a positive difference in the school district, and the way boards do that is by providing direction to the superintendent and to the staff, to all the employees in the district. So what I've outlined for you here are your basic tools, which are documents, and you provide direction through policy, and I notice that you have been changing, revising, and creating policies, and that will happen throughout your history, your tenure on the board. Also, other documents that become important are your belief statements, which this board, I'm suggesting, might want to review the belief statements of previous boards and either revise, renew, adapt your own. The district has a vision, mission statement, and that's another thing that you might choose to look at and revise or leave as is. And then another document would be annual priorities, strategic goals, and success indicators, which usually are in a strategic plan. I did a little research. And you might recall some of these products. Okay. This was Capistrano's strategic plan. I was told that you did have copies of this, but if you don't, we have 7 copies here this evening that you're welcome to take home, put under your pillow, read before you fall asleep, share information with your friends and neighbors and family, and use in any way that you would like. But it is a history, and an important one, an important history of what the priorities were 9 years ago. So this was the strategic plan for the district 1993 to 2000, and it's got heft. Okay? But it was a 7-year plan. It was preceded, I should have done this piece first, I apologize, it was preceded by a proposed strategic plan, which I would assume went before a Board of Education, and from there, it was approved, and from there what usually happens is that who's accountable for what, when it should be done, the where's, the why's, the how's, and the timeline. In the year 2001, this document was produced, and it is a statement of the results of the 7-year strategic plan. Since that time, and you might recognize some of you, I think, were on the board when this was produced. I'll pass it around. I understand that every year thereafter of the large 7-year plan, this type of a document in the form of a poster was produced. And so it would have anywhere, Mrs. Hatchell, how many from?
I'd say
how many goals?
4 to 20-ish.
From yeah. 4 to 20 through the years on a poster format. In the olden days, when I was just a kid, these strategic plans all looked like this and had this level of heft. What I'm here to show you today is the change in philosophy related to strategic planning. Our strategic plans were originally in the world of business, and public entities started to adopt the practice, though there were differences, as I noted, on the lavender sheet, because our bottom line is not financial in nature. Though, our bottom line has to include financial items. So we have a lot more to evaluate than the bottom line of finance. We have services. We have facilities. We have programs. We have the results of our children's learning as part of our bottom line, which, of course, is the most important bottom line of all. And that is objective and subjective. In the time of writing these kinds of hefty strategic plans, success criteria was not usually identified. And now it's more important than ever for boards of education to approve strategic plans that have specific success criteria built in. So when we talk about facilities, what is it that we want to see as the final outcome? When we talk about our students, of course, we want to see higher achievement levels, and we want to see progress for every individual child. That one is easy. We know clearly, without even thinking a whole lot about it, what we want for kids. New strategic plans, that have been produced since 2000, that go beyond. This is the heftiest I found. It is a booklet. Because it became apparent that those practitioners in the field, when they had 100 goals, couldn't accomplish all of them. I mean, there was some understanding that a group of people or an individual person can only do so much given an allotted amount of time. People then weren't focusing on what a board's priorities might be. And it also became apparent that developing long-range plans, like a seven-year plan, wasn't always practical in the sense that times change so greatly. And I think I tried to point that out in my agenda item on how times have changed. So I am suggesting that we go for a slimmer. This happens to be, and I'm going to give each of you one of these to look at, and then you can pass them on this one down. This is Irvine's strategic plan. It's not advancing. 2000 to 2008, I met with Dr. Gwen Gross last night. I also met with Dr. Steve Fish, and I will be sharing his their plan as well. Everyone of you is going to get to look at a plan.
All the employees, would they get a copy?
Oh, yes, because that's their guide. Yes. So would you like, I thought you could raise your hand if you wanted to see her by 100. And here's Palo Alto, Mountain Valley. This is a full strategic plan. I'd like to give you a few minutes to just look at and pass and trade, do whatever you like. Thank you.
our original copy, the plan that I found, is defined. What the difference is in these hefty plans, basically, is that this does say everything, every single thing that is done. Who's going to do it, and when they're going to do it. And what has drastically changed in the content of strategic plans is that the daily business of the job is now not written down. It's the special things that happen beyond the daily work. It is how the daily work should be organized, with what focus.
Ellen, is anyone passing you anything? Does anyone have anything to give Sue?
Sue worked on it, so Sue.
You know that one.
Yeah.
So maybe someone will switch with you. So basically, Capistrano's proposal is more what like the finished products they're looking like today. Have you had enough time to look at some things? And we'll get to some of the business that we need to tend to related to those items. I'm looking basically for direction this evening. And the kind of direction that I'm looking for is I would like to know what you want me to ensure happens in a process of obtaining public input to developing a strategic plan.
Trustee Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I like some things in each and every one of the ones that I looked at. One of the things I like are the phases mentioned in Irvine's, I think it was. They had phases. In other words, when you initiate, when you're in the secondary phase of implementing, and when you're looking at a result would be like maybe phase three. That's an easy way of IDing it without going into pages and pages of what your strategy is on those things. I like that a lot. I like the fact that these are very inexpensive, easy for our constituents to read, understand, and to operate with, and also staff. I like the small pages. That's great. And this one from Palo Alto says something very interesting in it. They all talked about excellence in education or doing the best for each child, but I kind of like the goal stated here to be nationally recognized for educational and instructional excellence. for the quality of our graduates and for leadership in the field of public education at local, state, and national levels. I think that's putting the talents of so many good people that we have in this district, parents, teachers, and everyone else, on a path to where this district, in my personal opinion, definitely can go, should go, and that's a much more demanding vision than some of the others I looked at. And that, for me, if it, you know, emphasizes math and science, I think, along with everything else, would be really great. Can I back up just a little bit on that? And that is, we do have this item on here for consideration and action. And is there anyone who, or do we have a majority who actually wants to go forward and work on the strategic plan, or is there anyone who wishes to speak against it? We all are. Mr. Brick? Trustee Brick? Oh, it's a great idea. Okay. Okay, so we're in agreement that we do want to move forward with the strategic plan. Okay, that's my step one.
I'm sorry, I really did put the cart before the horse. Would you like to vote on that then, and then we'll just finish our discussion? I promise Mrs. Adonisio that I would let you all be leaving at the very latest at 6:45.
I hope that we move on with our agenda to create a document, some kind of vision or a statement.
I'll second it. So we'll continue with our discussion then. So can I just ask what the process is here? How will we go about this? Are we taking our 2000 item and scrapping it in its entirety and starting over, or are we taking that and adjusting it as and come up with a proposal?
That's what I'm getting at tonight with you folks. That's going to be, those kinds of things are your decisions. So, for instance, I'm asking the question, as I stated on the lavender sheet, the last item, the most important thing in having a credible strategic plan is to have the input of the various stakeholder groups within the community. And so what I'm asking now is, what would you as board members want me, direct me to ensure happens in the process of the development of a strategic plan?
I guess
so
aside from
if we took the old plan, then I would be utilizing that as a baseline for the community to react to. If we start fresh, then we have community conversations, and we have focus groups that ask the community members questions related to what they feel is important for their children.
We would need that. And Trustee Bryson? I beg your pardon, Trustee Bryson?
I agree with you, Madam Chair, on that. I think we need as much input from our stakeholders as possible. Everyone has been through a great deal here, and they have a right to voice their opinions and feel confident that they are part of our moving forward. I think it's critical, and I, for one, would like, I personally, I don't know how the other trustees feel, but I'd like to walk away from anything in the past and start fresh. Fresh input from our constituents and stakeholders, fresh direction, and a new vision, a better vision.
Trustee Winston.
Hi. Yes, we need this process. I think, though, before we engage in the discussion you're talking about, I'd like to ask if it's feasible for the superintendent and her staff, with whatever outside input from stakeholders and the like that she would like to obtain, to try to provide us and our constituents with, I'll say snapshot, but more like a photo album, of where do you believe this district is right now? We, the 2000 plan, so much has changed since then, I can't imagine it's got a whole lot of relevance today. Frankly, if a plan had been done in 2007, it wouldn't have much relevance today, given the economic meltdown and a lot of other things that have gone on. If this were a business, it would look at what is it doing right, what is it doing wrong, what is it doing that can be easily improved, and what is it doing that needs to be improved. That'll take a lot of work. That's what I would think we and the constituents and those who want to provide input would like to, should use as a starting point. I mean, we can all say we want 900 API scores, but let's get an assessment. I'm sure there's a lot that is going on in this district that's absolutely right and doesn't need to be fixed. And there's some other things that are probably easy to say they definitely need improvement. And there are some echoes that keep on repeating in this boardroom from the constituents out there, like the San Juan K-8 conversion and some other things that certainly I think are sort of moral priorities, or they're imperative that they get resolved one way or another in the next couple of years. But to kind of, I think it would be helpful for everybody, myself included, if we could start from some sort of baseline of where are we right now, realistically. We've got 53 schools, we've got a declining budget, we've got 53,000 kids, and X schools are performing well, and X, Y schools aren't, and that kind of thing. Does that make sense, and is that doable? And I'm not saying spend a year doing it, but before you start going around to meetings with stakeholders in whatever fashion you would like to, and I'd like to hear your recommendations about that, I think that would be really valuable, especially since you are new to the district and have a fresh perspective, and I think a somewhat informed, educated, professional perspective to bring to the table. And you're also getting the perspective of sitting in that office upstairs in the hot seat and hearing everything, good, bad, or indifferent. So I think that would be useful. I know you're working with school services on a reorganization plan for the administration, and I think the sort of the results of that should be included in what I'm talking about, if there's consensus for it. And then we can all circulate that and hear from everybody about what they think, and go from there about trying to build a consensus on what the strategic plan ought to cover and for how long and how far out the horizon ought to be, because we could certainly discuss that and talk about the different options for this district going forward.
And Mr. Winston, what you're suggesting in the education world is called a needs assessment, and it is an absolute necessary piece of a strategic plan. There are differing philosophies, not one being better than another, or one being a good philosophy, another a bad philosophy. They're just basically two different philosophies. One of them, you're doing a needs assessment as you're going on. Part of the needs assessment is actually the input provided by the community. It becomes a piece of the needs assessment based on their perceptions of the school district, of the educational programs, of the facilities, of the employees' ability, all of those kinds of things. So actually, community input becomes part of the needs assessment. The one line of thinking would say, don't share anything of a needs assessment type of content with the community in order to get their dream, their true desires. The other one says, tell them what is and ask what their priorities and desires are based on what is. So either way, a needs assessment does need to be conducted, because you don't know how far you need to move forward till you already know where, until you know where you are. And in the past 20 days, working days, or that's what I've been doing, is trying to figure out where we are. And I still have more to do in that process. A lot of the information is easily obtained through records of test scores through the years. I've asked school services, for instance, to develop some charts for us so that we can see how we compare with like districts, unified school districts across the state of California in certain areas. So all of the needs assessment material is easily shared with anyone that you would like me to share it with in this, and when you would like me to do it in this process. But I guess we need to look at a philosophy of how we're going to go then. Do we want the unbiased dream, or do we want the reality take?
I think we're very far away from dreams right now in government and local government, and I would propose we be more reality-oriented right now. We've got enough dreamers in Sacramento, and that's just my view of it. I think we need a realistic assessment of where we are right now, what do we have, what are we delivering, and then make some judgments on are we doing well? Are we doing okay? Or are we not doing as well as we thought? And then after we digest all that, go figure out, okay, where do we want to go based on what we have? I mean, this is a golden opportunity. I think nothing should be excluded. And there's some things happening in our community that I don't think we can or should ignore at all in this process. I don't know if you heard or saw, but I found out yesterday that I think the night or two before, there was a city council meeting in Mission Viejo where the city council there is talking about doing a survey and taking steps to consider whether to try to form their own school district out of chunks of Saddleback and Capistrano. And you know, I'm sure there's pros and cons to that, and I don't know how serious they are or motivated they are, and I don't even know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but anything like that, you know, I think we have to consider in the strategic plan, by definition, and in the vision, we, the board, the stakeholders, want Capistrano to go forward from where it is right now? Do we want to take a look at some of the discussions going on, which is maybe it needs to be restructured in some way? I don't know. But the discussion, I think, should be included, and I think it would be less dignified if it didn't include all discussions and all options that are going on out there in the community. So I'd like to consider that type of thing as well.
Okay. I concur with the first part of what you were saying, and that to keep it a little bit more reality-based, at this point we don't have
room for too much dreams fiscally. I mean, we want to keep a little bit of it in there. We want to have a little bit of a wish list. But we do need to be reality-based now and let our stakeholders know what's going on as we move forward. And before I call on the rest, I just want to ask, how do the principals of each school within our district work with the superintendent at the end of the year to advise them the good, the bad, the ugly of what's occurred within their school for that year, their own little report card, what they wish to accomplish for the next year, you know, their goals for the next year, and basically what is, I mean, do they get a report that's completed that, of their own wish list and their needs and assessment to assist the superintendent moving forward? Do we have a document like that, or
I have not gotten that far as to look into the evaluation systems of personnel yet, but it is definitely part of what I do. I believe that there would exist a system in which the strategic plan is the board's direction to all the employees in the school district. The heavier, heftier parts of the 1993 strategic plan are what a superintendent usually works with cabinet and site administrators to use as a part of an evaluation system within the district on what is getting accomplished at the direction of the board through the strategic plan. So, for instance, in the old days, if we had a strategic plan that took every single area of the curriculum, now put yourself in the position of an elementary principal. You might have 650 kids, you might have 1,000 youngsters at your site. And you might not have any assistance. It's you and the secretary and the custodian and maybe a health clerk or an attendance clerk and your staff. And your staff is responsible for providing the finest instruction possible for the children in their classrooms. And other parts of the staff, the classified staff, they're responsible for providing the healthiest, cleanest, supportive environment for kids that's possible. So you can imagine a strategic plan that would require a focus on 20 different curricular items. It's not practical. So what happens is the strategic plan is their priorities set for each year. So the priorities have to be a part of it. The superintendent, or in a district this large, an assistant superintendent would be in an evaluative process of the principal. So it might be the superintendent and two assistant superintendents or two or three assistant superintendents who are responsible for the accountability of the implementation of the plan. And the evaluations would reflect that.
Thank you. Trustee Palazzo?
I had a question, Dr. Mahler. Would the facility needs assessment be part of the strategic plan? It would be.
No, well.
Or not?
It is because facilities are within the strategic plan goals, but there would be a separate document, which is a facilities master plan.
Right.
One could hope.
But it would be, do school districts put those in their strategic plans?
They put the goals and objectives within the strategic plan. Yes.
Okay.
Then they use the facilities master plan as the working document.
And then I had another question, just because of something that one of my goal goals or thoughts with our, with the busing, you know, with our doing away of our busing, going, we're, you know, losing our busing, our funding for busing, we're losing our busing. Would part of a strategic plan be a program encouraging our students to walk to school, to ride their bikes to school, a whole program? I think I talked about walking buses that they do in England. Would that be something, or is that too small of a thought in a strategic plan?
It is not too small of a thought. It would be involved in whatever themes, it would come up within the themes that you establish. And so that type of thing might come up in a health theme, or it could come up in a transportation theme.
Okay.
One of the questions I'll be coming back to you with at another time, because the clock is ticking. One of the things that I'll be coming back with is, what themes are you interested in pursuing, in having needs assessments conducted in? Of course, I can go ahead and start a needs assessment because I can pretty well ballpark what the basic themes are.
Trustee Bryson? I have 2 points. One, in your charting, Dr. Mahler, can we have also some concept of where we are on the national level as well as the state level, so that we could see districts of our comparable size that are excelling in other areas of the country and how they're doing with their statistics?
We can look into that.
It doesn't need
I'm
to
not
be.
Going to promise you that we would get anything meaningful.
Some
because districts that are larger tend to be urban.
Correct. For example,
they do not have the demographics that we have.
Like,
but I'm sure that there are some, you know, that there are others out there. We would just have to research it.
Like Houston or Chicago or New York, maybe. Another thing that I have to say I disagree with is the concept that if we're dealing with reality, which is definitely the road that we should traverse, that we start opening up the potential destruction of certain areas of our district. Because I never did a business plan in my life as a corporate executive up and down both coasts, having run more than 5 companies, where we ever based the future of the company entity on a competitor's desire to destroy some part of our corporate holdings. So to say that we should investigate in a directive that's supposed to show the future of this district and to uplift everyone involved in the district, what we would do if this or that or the other city or entity decided to remove part of, you know, the district, I think is counterproductive. And I've never seen a document like that in the corporate world, and I think it would be a very misplaced, improper direction for, I think we have to deal with the reality that this is what we have now. If it's sometime in the future it changes, and we can rewrite a page or a paragraph and deal with it. But I've never, I would find that very negative and a very poor directive for our constituents and teachers and everyone else involved to be contemplating the possible potential destruction or removal or change when there is no such at this time. That's not reality. That is a dream. That's somebody else's dream. And I don't think we have any business fiddling with it unless it is a reality, and at which time we can deal with it.
Two pieces of information that might be relevant for the board at this time. I have been told, though I would have to check again, that we are about between the 84th and the 87th largest district in the nation. So when I say that most of the districts that we would be looking at have a different demographic, I firmly believe we aren't going to find many that have our demographic. when you think of all of the school districts in this nation. And we are the 9th or 10th largest in California. And our demographic is quite different than the districts that are larger than we are. Another point of information, Mrs. Bryson and Mr. Winston, is that what the city of Mission Viejo is exploring may be a very long-term dream of some people, because it is many years into the future that something like that could become relevant. And there are all types of approval and election processes that come into play. But we have to allow people to conduct those processes, which we feel are important to them, and to go along their path. And that's what will be, but I don't think we should be sidetracked by it. Be it reality or dream, we're in the business of educating our children, and we want to do the best job possible, and we need to learn from our community. What does that look like? What does that sound like? And I think that's what we need to know. But we need to know a lot of other things too. And you will receive more information from me in my packet to you regarding the whole Mission Viejo scenario.
I didn't take any comment with regard to Mission Viejo to be a negative in any way. It was simply, it's tossed out there as those are options that people, other groups are considering. They're just ideas. It doesn't really affect our planning process, so I didn't really take, but Trustee Winston, did you have something to say?
Just to wrap up for tonight. Corporations, Trustee Bryson, all the time do study divestitures, mergers, acquisitions, and I think that the discussion going on over there in the City Council of Mission Viejo is happening for a reason. So whatever it is that is causing them to look at that issue, we should be aware of those reasons, the drivers, the motivators, and don't ignore them. That's my point. Mm-hmm. Don't live in a world where we're so paternal that we think we know better, and stop listening to the feedback and the noise out there in the community. That's my point, among other points. There's also, and you and I have had this discussion, and I've had it with some of your predecessors and others, school districts kind of maybe operate at optimum levels under certain conditions. We may not be there. We may be too large, we may be too small, I don't know. But, and maybe I'm misunderstanding how you're using the word strategic plan, and I'm using it differently. But someday the economy is going to improve, and the home builders are going to start home building, and there's a big, huge expanse of raw land east of here and south of here that I believe is expecting to become part of Capistrano Unified School District. And I think you're talking about long-term planning. I think we need to study whether we want that, whether that's realistic or not, find out what commitments have been made, and take all this into account. Now, this is maybe not core to the delivery of education, and maybe your strategic plan should be limited to that. If so, say so, and we can walk down a different road on these other issues.
It's if the board chooses to have a strategic plan which is limited to education and educational practice and student achievement, we can do that. But a usual strategic plan in the education business is broader than that.
And that can be a whole big process in and of itself. So while I'm all for approving your concept and for taking these steps, I'm certainly looking for more discussion on future days as to defining the scope or the scoping process.
Well, I have enough information, I believe, at the present time to come back to you with some other thoughts.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Just a simple request. When you're talking about the various stakeholder groups, I'd like us to see that we reach out to some non-traditional, perhaps, stakeholder groups, those that might otherwise approach us, like the business community, for example, and perhaps the post-secondary institutions to get their input, since we produce their students and employees, mm-hmm. and have them provide us some input on what they're looking for with respect to the education we provide.
Thank you. Trustee Bryson?
I have to go back to finish with the input from Trustee Winston. I still feel strongly that to involve political ambitions of varied entities is counterproductive. We may need to be realistic when it occurs, when they separate, whatever occurs, but we have to plan for those schools and those children that we have now. And it's nothing to do with telling people not to have their opinion or not to do whatever they wish to do in seeking a different resolution or solution. But it has everything to do with not taking our eye off the ball of the children and their education. And that includes taking care of the facilities that they have and everything else at this time. And at the time that they don't have it, then things can be rewritten. But budgeting is critical, and I think when you get into the possibilities of this one or that one leaving, it's not so much a divestiture by any means as other people's intent to take areas. And I just don't think that's really a proper part of our planning process. They can speak here, they can do anything they want to do in that process, but I don't think that is part of a strategic planning document when it hasn't occurred. I just think it's counterproductive and very negative.
I think I can paraphrase and wrap up the discussion by saying I don't see, whereas Mrs. Bryson, you and Mr. Winston, you are in disagreement inherently. I think that what I hear you saying, Mr. Winston, is the reasons why the city might be looking at what they're looking at is what's important, not the politics of it. Now, maybe the reasons turn out to be politics, but we can look into what the reasons are.
Okay. Do you feel you have sufficient information from us now to move forward?
Yes, and to keep my promise belatedly that we would get out of here at 6:40.
Do we have any other comments? We do have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries 7-0. Thank you very much. Any other comments, Dr. Mahler?
No, thank you for your direction.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. The meeting's adjourned.